All right, I'm sitting here with Damien Eccles.
How's it going, Damien?
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, so some of you may know Damien. We're going to focus mainly on what's been going on since he's got out of prison, though. We want to keep everything positive. And, you know, he's done a great many very notable things, so this is going to be the main topic for the evening. So, Damien, why don't you give us a little introduction and sort of, like, tell us what you've been up to.
So, for those who don't know me, my name is Damien Eccles. I'm not going to really talk about the case much because there's so much out there you can already look into on that, you know, documentaries and books and what have you. And that's not really usually the way that I identify myself, you know, as part of all that. For me, I have always identified myself first and foremost as a magician, a practitioner of Western ceremonial magic. And everything in my life, as much as I possibly can, reflects that identity and reflects that practice, whether it's artwork, whether it's writing, whether it's the project that we're doing now, whatever it is, it all in one way or another ties back into Western ceremonial magic.
So you've been involved in several art collaborations since, I think, what was the earliest one?
I started off while I was still in prison doing art shows, actually. I had a couple of people come to me and ask me to do things in various states. You know, I think I did one in Colorado, did one in San Francisco, did one in LA. Those were all while I was actually still in prison. But since I've gotten out, my first show was at a Sacred Gallery here in the city. And that would have been in, I want to say, 2012.
What was that one called?
That was called Moving Forward, Looking Back. And then I did another one there 2 years later, I think, called Do As Thou Wilt, which was sort of paying homage to Aleister Crowley, and again, tying into ceremonial magic. But then I am part of two art collectives. The first is The Hand, which, you know, most people know as me, Minton Matthews, and Dave Stupakis. And the reason we called ourselves The Hand is because the hand is the tool we use to shape reality. It's what we use to give form and function to the world. Mm-hmm. So the hand is an incredibly powerful symbol, and it was something that held a lot of power for us. So that's what we called ourselves. And then I'm also part of another art collective called Chrysalis. It's me, Lori, and Erica Flannis. And the reason it's called Chrysalis is because Chrysalis is sort of a symbol for transformation, you know, moving forward into new realms in life, new developmental stages of growth, things of that nature. And we wanted it to be something that sounded more feminine, you know, because in Chrysalis, there's just me and two women. So we wanted it to sound less masculine than the hand. Mm-hmm. And Chrysalis was... it's got a very powerful theme behind it, but at the same time, there's something ethereal and kind of feminine about it. So The Hand and Chrysalis are the two art collectives that I am a member of.
Yeah, I could say one thing, too, about the name Chrysalis and the concept is something that a lot of people can really relate to these days.
I think so, yeah. I think everybody, in one way or another, is going through transformation at mm-hmm. all times, even when we don't realize it. You know, sometimes we look back a year down the road, 5 years down the road, and realize we were going through a lot of shit, mm-hmm. a lot of change, a lot of growth, and we didn't even realize it at the time.
Right. I know for me, for sure, I'm not the same person I was a year ago or even 2 years ago.
Yeah, even 6 months ago.
Yep.
Constantly seems like kind of like the world's getting faster and faster, too.
It does, right? Maybe it's age.
Could be.
I am getting old, I feel like. What's it called? So, so Chrysalis is relatively new, right? You have a...
it is. We started that. Our first show as Chrysalis will be... the opening is December 10th in Chicago. And then we'll have various projects scattered out after that. There are some shows I'm doing that will actually probably have work from The Hand and Chrysalis in one show. You know, for example, I'm getting ready to do one in Salem, or right outside Salem, Massachusetts, in February. And it will have collaborations from me and members of The Hand, as well as me and members of Chrysalis.
That's cool. What's the concept? Does that show a particular concept, or is it...
you know what? It actually doesn't yet, just because... I've been getting ready for so many shows that I haven't even started on that one, and we haven't really even talked about what the focal point of this should be. So that'll probably come out. I guess we got a couple months to sort of decide on it.
Okay, that's cool. And the last show you were you had the last big show you had with the hand, Salem.
Yes.
It was in it was at Copper Gallery in California.
Yep, Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, California. And so how was that for you?
That was huge.
It seemed like a very big deal.
It was massive. Even the guy who owned the gallery came out later and he said, "That's not the kind of thing we're used to." He said,
"Really?
You know, we've got like movie stars and, you know, singers and celebrities and stuff showing up, and this is not the sort of thing we're used to." It was one of those things. It was
like turnout, or
yeah, huge turnout.
Wow.
You, Peter Jackson came all the way from New Zealand just for the show.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was pretty huge. It was kind of overwhelming. You know, you have to. I'm not a big party person, big crowd person. So when things like that are going on, I usually spend half the night hiding and then sneak out for a few minutes and talk to a few people and then go back into hiding for a while.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of feel the same way sometimes.
Yeah.
It's nice to be around people, but not, you know, kind of be in your own personal
I like
bubble.
To see them, but not be seen.
Yeah,
by.
It's like, yeah, I can totally relate. And, so like, are you and the hand going to be working on anything of that stature? That scale, rather?
We've been, ever since Salem, even before Salem was over, before Salem ever even opened, we were kicking around an idea, and I can't really say what it is yet, but it's something that I've been passionate about for pretty much my whole life, and I think it's something that people will not see coming. Because
some people thought it was the tarot card.
That is another idea. We have actually talked about doing our own tarot deck, doing the hand tarot.
That would be amazing.
So we may end up doing that at some point.
So the big idea hasn't even come out yet.
No.
Oh man, you're killing us.
No.
That's great.
But it's something all three of us are really, really excited about. And one of the reasons we get excited is because we don't think people are going to see it coming. You know, people expect, whenever they see us, they expect a certain element of darkness. Mm-hmm. This is the other end of the spectrum. This is like divinity, light.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. And do you think it's going to manifest itself similarly to how it did in Salem, like with a show? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll end up doing a show for it. We'll probably do it as a book. We'll do a Kickstarter to raise money to print it as a book, as well as maybe some other things. You know, I think it would be kind of nice to not just have a show. You know, most art shows you go to and it's not really interactive at all. You just go there and you stand around the floor and look around the walls. I want to do, you know, something where you could actually come to a show and maybe have tarot readers at the show. Things of that nature.
Yeah,
where, you know,
that would be great.
Or even, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to, a lot of times if I talk about stuff, then I'll end up not doing it. It's like I let the energy disperse
really?
Or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel that. Yeah, I wish I was able to go to Salem. It looked really amazing.
Yeah.
It looked really, really amazing.
It was nice. It's something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. And the pieces were amazing, too.
They were. Yeah.
All of the work was so great. And with Chrysalis, are you going to be doing some big shows also? Is the one coming up?
The first one coming up is pretty decent sized. It's going to be in Chicago at Minton Matthews Gallery called Ars Memoria. Opens on December 10th, and it's going to be just us three, me, Erica, and Lori. So it's going to be a pretty huge deal, that one will. And then the next one after that will be in February in Massachusetts. And then, I mean, we're booked up all the way until like the middle of next year. We've got a show in New Orleans in June.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
What gallery is that?
It's actually a private collector who owns like several properties in the French Quarter, and they're going to set up their courtyard and do an opening right there in the courtyard. But there is a gallery there called Red Truck who is going to have a few pieces on display in the gallery at the same time as the opening takes place.
Aside from like the art world, or even outside of those two groups, do you have other plans? I know you had recently done just collaborations between you and other artists.
Yeah, that one, I did a show, I had the idea for doing collaborations because one thing I realized doing the Salem show is I don't like solo shows. Really? I like doing shows with other people because it makes it more fun. It gives it a festive atmosphere, you know, almost like a party. If you do
it
a solo show...
It does draw a lot of different crowds together.
It's like a camaraderie.
It is.
You know, if you do a solo show, it's like you got to carry the weight of it on your back. Mm-hmm. You carry the whole thing. If you do a collaboration show or a group show, then you've got your friends there with you. Mm-hmm. So the guy asked me, did I want to do a solo show? And I said, I'll do a solo show if it's a solo show of collaborations. So it was me and other people working on the same piece. So there was that one. I do have a lot of stuff coming up in the very near future. One thing, for example, I got contacted by Sounds True, which is a publishing company that only publishes works on meditation, energy work, Buddhism, things of that nature, and they want me to be their very first book on magic. So I'm going to do a series of audio classes that people will be able to log on, and I think there's going to be six of them, six in all, six classes, in addition to the actual hard copy book of, we haven't even come up with a name yet, but it'll be a book on magic.
That's pretty cool. Is that going to be, what was the name of the thing? The Lotus thing?
Oh, Crimson Lotus?
Crimson Lotus. It'll is that going to be like Crimson Lotus?
On steroids. Crimson Lotus on steroids.
Crimson Lotus on steroids. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
Each one will consist of, I think it's going to be an hour long lecture and a 30 minute practice for each.
And it's just going to be like a regular thing, or is it going to see a definite end? Or?
Right now, we'll start off with six, and we'll see how people respond to it, if they want to know more, if they're really into it, and if they are, then hopefully we'll pick up and do some more from there.
That's pretty crazy, man. Mm-hmm. Did you foresee any of these things happening once you came out of prison? Or?
I saw them while I was still in prison, but once I got out, I was so shattered for probably the first 2 years that I was out, then I was just doing everything I could to put one foot in front of the other. You know, I probably broke down three times in 5 years just trying to adapt and adjust to life out here. You think when you get out that you know what life out here is going to be like because you were out here before, but you don't. You know, especially like me, I was in there for almost 20 years. So you come out here and you're in a completely new world and you don't comprehend the psychological, emotional, spiritual devastation that you're about to experience. Mm-hmm. So for at least 2 years, I wasn't doing much of anything other than trying to survive.
Have these projects helped you in trying to find your way in that sense? Or?
I think so. Or even if they don't necessarily help me find my way, what they do is help me digest the experiences that I'm having. I take things that I learn from people, from places, from situations, and I try to distill it into writing or into visual art or whatever it is that I'm doing. The way I think of it is any art that I do, whatever art form it is, whether it's a movie or book, whatever the fuck it is, for me, that's like the side effect of the process. For me, I always think that we are the art. We're what the art is supposed to be. We are our life's work. So everything I make is just sort of leaving behind a signpost showing this is where I was, this is what I was at this particular time in my life. I try to make it, you know, I think Andy Warhol was the master of this game where he realized that people aren't necessarily buying the art for the art. They're buying the art because it's a piece of the artist. So I, to the best of my ability, try to make sure that that's what my art is, whether it's doing an interview on a TV show or whether it's creating a piece on a canvas for an art show. I try to make sure that I'm putting part of my life force, part of myself into this thing so that it's meaningful. It's not just some shit somebody threw at the wall.
Yeah, for sure. I think in a way it's almost unavoidable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like for those things to kind of translate, you know, like exactly who you are in those moments. Cause, mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, if it never changes, it's like, you know, what does that say? You know, you have to develop and grow.
Yeah.
To continue to produce really amazing art and really amazing work.
If you don't want to be a conveyor belt, just turning out the same shit.
Hey, there's 20 of those out there.
There are indeed. And for some people it works. Some people, I don't think it's necessarily always a bad thing. I think some people find their niche and they're happy with what they're doing, and people are happy with what they're doing, And it works like Keith Haring. Every fucking one of Keith Haring's pieces looks exactly alike.
That's true.
But he enjoyed what he was doing. People enjoyed what he was doing. So why change?
It's a very good point. And I was never really a huge fan of Warhol personally, but I can definitely see how in a different light how his work would make more sense in that.
I'm not a big fan of his actual artwork. You know, I always think who gives a fuck about a can of soup hanging on the wall.
I'm not a fan of the suit.
I think it's the genius behind it. You know, I think he completely changed the art world.
And he did even predict a lot of things, too. Mm-hmm. Especially about that thing about having everybody will have their, like, what is it, 15 minutes of fame?
Yeah.
Yeah, that isn't true today. I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's what Facebook is, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Is there anything specifically, like, in regards to what you're doing with, like, what are you doing with magic these days? Like, how does it affect or play into your daily
routines or if you have plans? A lot of it for me is using it to survive. You know, like I said, when I first got out, I was so devastated that it's the only thing, you know, maintaining that spiritual practice when I was in prison. By the time I got out, I was doing it for like 7 or 8 hours a day. So whenever I got out, it was what I fell back on to help me deal and cope with things out here. Mm-hmm. And what I became excited about, passionate about, is being able to share those techniques, those practices with other people who actually want to learn them, who want to apply them to their life, you know, in maybe even a much less stressful, strenuous situation. I'm like, if this works on death row, it'll work out here. So what I try to do, what I love doing, is classes where I'm able to hand these techniques off to other people who are hungry for them, eager for them. So I think in Chicago, the night before the Chrysalis opening there, I may end up doing a class on magic at Minton's place. And if I do, it's going to be on tantric sex magic, which I'm excited about.
Any particular reason why that
I think
particular
topic? One, because I've done so many classes on basic beginning exercises, you know, basic beginning visualizations, basic beginning breathing techniques, all these different things, that I'm kind of sick of teaching the alphabet, and
right,
I want
to move on
to something a little more exciting, a little more advanced. That, and it's also just fun, you know. It's a lot of it is a process of exchanging energy with someone else. And I've done some of these techniques with as many as like 5 people before, but you can do them with just 2 people. You can do them, you know, with someone you care about. It's a meditation practice, an energy work practice that you can do with someone who means something to you personally, and it enhances it even more. You know, it becomes not only a spiritual activity, a spiritual practice, but it becomes a bonding ritual for the both of you. So it's something that people usually respond to really nicely. They really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And I'm just looking forward to getting to do it.
So outside of magic and art, is there anything else you're working on?
There is a huge thing I'm working on, and I can't say yet. I just got the papers.
I hate it when you do that to us.
I know. I hate it when people do that to me. But once all the contracts are finalized and all the paperwork finished up, then I'll be able to talk about it a little more. But it's something that I am really, really psyched about doing.
Well, that's not fair. All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait for that then.
Yeah. Not too long, though.
No, so this collaboration we got going on, we actually got like 2 working.
Yep.
That are currently going on right now. One is the Love Talisman.
Mm-hmm. That one is, I actually have that one tattooed on my arm. The other one is the Chrysalis Talisman, which I have tattooed on my ribs. And what I try with almost every single piece that I do to have at least part of it tattooed on me somewhere, so that even when the pieces go out in the world, go to other people's homes, I still have them on me. And it's also usually something that I'm working on at the time in my life too, you know. And love is one of those things that we're all working on. You know, whether you've been in a relationship for many, many years, or whether you're in a brand new relationship, or whether you're just wanting to be in a new relationship, love is something that affects and impacts all of us every way, every day. So for me, whenever it was kind of like a no-brainer, whenever you said, what should we work on first? That's love. Love Talisman. That's like first thing.
Yeah, I can totally relate. I think it's a really important thing. And like I said earlier, like even transformation being such a prominent, you know, it's such it is happening to us all the time. Exactly. And everybody. I feel like the way things have been going lately, especially, I think transformation and love are two concepts that a lot of people can really
Transform are dead things. So as long as we're alive, we are undergoing the transformation process. The key is doing it from a state of awareness and from a state of it being deliberate and conscious, not just sort of unconsciously flailing your way through life and finding your way from one place to another without a plan or an idea or anything else. The point of chrysalis, the point of transformation, is to do it in a way where you're working towards a goal, where you've got a destination in mind and you're working your way towards it. You know, whether it be to be better physically, to be better mentally, to be better emotionally, to be better spiritually, whatever it is, it's all about trying to achieve your absolute potential.
And these pendants are, obviously we've worked on pendants in the past, and most of which, you know, were limited or not really fully available to the entire to the public.
Right. Like only for the Kickstarter or something like that. This will be the hand one. This will be the very first time that we've ever done anything that's widely available.
It's going to be an edition of 190. That's 190 pieces for each of the two collaborations that we're doing. Since this is the first piece being made available to the general public, I actually updated the design a little bit. For the most part, the Love Talisman will remain the same as the ones you've seen already. One of the things that have changed, besides there being things engraved in the back on this version, is that the bail actually flows a little bit nicer into the piece. It's a little bit more seamless. But for the most part, size, depth, thickness, although those things will remain the same. And with regards to chrysalis, in line with the concept of transformation, I decided to do an entirely different piece for that one.
Which I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, and you haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it.
Exciting. We wanted to do 190 because, you know, we were talking about a number that means something special to me, and for me that number is 19. I got out of prison on August 19th. 19 has reoccurred over and over and over in my life. Even when we were doing the Salem show, we were talking about the fact that 19 people were hanged as for witches in Salem, and it started on September 19th. You know, all these different 19s kept popping up over and over and over. And I even have it tattooed on me, on the back of my arm. I went on August 19th, which was the day I got out of prison, and had Erica tattooed a 19 on the back of my arm. So 19 is just a number that has a lot of significance for me. It's sort of like my own personal little sacred number. So 190 is 19 times 10, and that's where the addition of 190 comes from.
The Love Talisman pendant will go on sale tonight at 12 a.m. That's the start of Black Friday. And the Chrysalis Necklace Talisman will go on sale on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please remember to pay close attention to our social media, or if you're subscribed to the Antennaverse newsletter, to your inboxes regarding any information or details surrounding the release of these collaborations, as things may or may not change depending on demand. Damien, is there anything else you want to say?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head other than just thank you to everybody who is listening to this. Thank you to you for recording this and for wanting to do this collaboration with me. And thank you for the people who are supporting both of our endeavors. We really, truly appreciate the fact that you want to own something that's a part of both of us. Hopefully we will talk to you again soon. And that's all I really want to say is just thank you.
Same. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you to everyone out there. All right. Thanks a lot, Damon.
Of course.